We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How about it? A Thursday. We have a lot to get to. We have a lot to get to today, Connor Dunning. It is June 8th, 2023. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am Gabe Kuhn, your host on Twitter, at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That'd be Connor Dunning on Twitter, at CDunning929. Connor, what's the word, brother?
Nothing much, man.
You good?
I'm good.
You hanging in there? You brave the weather?
Brave the weather?
Yeah. We had a little weather earlier. It was nice and rainy over here. And the Canadian wildfire smoke.
Oh, yeah. It is hazy out there a little bit.
I haven't noticed it here.
Really?
Not really.
I definitely have.
My dad was talking to me. He said he was out in Denver, and he about needed a mask to breathe through it. The state of New York's getting smacked down.
It looks like doom.
Yeah. Going outside, air quality, you don't want any of that. You don't want any of that. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM ESPN and yours truly. I'm going to open a little different. We're going to talk about Ja and what was said by Adam Silver on the Dan Patrick Show. We'll do that at about 4:30. And what I want to do is just go through the whole thing. It's very useful information, every bit of it. So we'll play it, we'll pause it, we'll talk about it, and we'll keep working through that. Also, NBA Finals, of course, the Nuggets get over top, like we predicted. Stinks always being right. But I have to say, the Heat, I feel like the clock's about to strike midnight. At some point, you need guys. You just need guys, and I don't think they have that right this second. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show on the Daily Memphian at 5 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock, one of my really good friends from my days back in St. Louis, but he is he's very involved in the media now. He's a producer for the Gilbert Arenas Show. And, you know, I want to talk to him about this and Gilbert and how he has talked about Ja through this process. Because I think he's done a really good job, Gilbert Arenas. More than a lot of national media members, he has really broken it down. And it has to do with his past transgressions. But Trevor Trout will join at 6 o'clock. Former USC defensive lineman. Again, part of the Gilbert Arenas Show. But he's been all over the place. He's a young guy, 23 years old, but at the same time, he was a talent evaluator at Clutch for the football side, and now, of course, with the Gilbert Arenas Show. That will be at 6 o'clock. We'll hop into the Blitz around 6:30. DeAndre Williams' case starting to feel a little more positive to you, Connor?
Yes.
A little bit?
Yes.
But Parth Upadhyay put out today Don Jackson, the Esquire, the lawyer that is dealing with DeAndre Williams' extra year of eligibility. He talked to him and he said, "We have documented proof of misadvisement in the form of emails and text messages. I feel like the positivity of getting DeAndre Williams back on campus next year should be at a relative high." Also, Titans reaching out to DeAndre Hopkins. I'm probably showing my hand there, but we'll talk about that in the Blitz. And also, Dalvin Cook finally released by the Vikings after this offseason, where he has shown several times he's not very happy with the way things are going. And then, of course, how could I forget Big 12 doing due diligence and coming to the University of Memphis? Doing due diligence. Brett Yormark was on campus. I feel good about it. Now, I know that PTSD is something serious with this fan base. Being left on the altar several times before, you feel like it could happen again. But this feels like it's real. Big 12 officials and Brett Yormark met with the Board of Regents, Laird Veach, and it looks like the wheels are turning a little bit. We'll talk about that around 5:30. Now, we did bring this up briefly yesterday because it was breaking news, but Chris Haynes reported that Chris Paul was going to be released by the Suns. And then we later figure out the reporting on that was a little bit faulty. The Suns are going to explore trades. They're going to see what they can. They're going to do their due diligence to see what's out there for them on the trade market. And then if it doesn't work out, I think if nothing comes to fruition, he'll likely be waived. And the Suns want to get that done because they'll only owe $15.8 million of the $30.8 million if he's waived before June 28th. Now, the Suns, even if they do waive him, are thinking about keeping him on the roster, but they want to pay him less. And I don't blame them even in the slightest for that thought process. He's 38. He's always hurt when it matters. That groin just always fails him when he really needs it the most. Now, CP3's team wants to know his fate soon, but I don't know how quickly that's going to figure itself out and what he's going to sign for elsewhere if he does get waived. I have to ask you this, Connor, because I've seen it from Chris Mannix. I heard it earlier with Jason and John when they were talking to Matt Moore of the Action Network. Why the CP3 Grizzlies talk? It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make really much sense for the Grizzlies or Chris Paul. That's why I'm not really sure why the discussion is there. I'm going to be completely honest. I think the only reason people are talking about it is because there's a Ja suspension looming.
Right, but at the same time, that'd be a hell of an overpriced second option.
Agreed.
And I you can't really play those two guys on the floor at the same time.
Definitely not.
So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but you see people saying that they should be aggressive and see what CP3's market is. You have Tyus as a backup, and you may use him in trade talks and try to go put a package together with Tyus on there. CP3, just all these people talking about it being a good fit, I don't see that.
Again, it's only a good fit because people are expecting Ja Morant to be suspended for a portion of the season. And we've talked about this a few times over the last few weeks. You do not change your long-term plans for a short-term option because this is going on. This is a speed bump that they are going to get past. It just doesn't make much sense for me because you're going to have to use money on Chris Paul that you would potentially use on the wing piece that all of us have agreed on that the Grizzlies actually need. Yeah, the beginning of the season without Ja might be rocky. It also might not be. This team's extremely talented outside of Ja Morant.
Is the thought there, too, maybe that he's a vet and he could provide some sort of much-needed...
I guess so.
Maturity?
At this point...
Leadership?
I just don't think adding Chris Paul, who is injury-prone, who is going to take games off, he's not going to want to be a backup whenever Ja comes back. He's going to be pricey. It doesn't make any sense for either side. I think Chris Paul is a tremendous player. He's one of the best point guards of all time. Of course, it would be great to have somebody like Chris Paul on your team, but when you take into consideration everything that would actually have to happen for him to be on your team, it just doesn't make much sense for the Grizzlies moving forward.
Chris Paul to Memphis? Chris Paul wanting to come? No.
Well, this is another thing. Very important thing here. We talked about this off air. I do think that sometimes, especially with the NBA trade machines, people forget that, one, sometimes players can decide where they go.
Right.
Just because the Grizzlies want Chris Paul or maybe rumored
to
want Chris
Paul. He's got a home in L.A. The Clippers could use his services. The Lakers could use his services.
Why would Chris Paul
come to Memphis? The Celtics could use his services.
I just don't understand.
He wants to win a championship. He's 38. And I'm not saying he couldn't do. Of course you can do that in Memphis, I think, especially with what they have here and what they could build into. But I think he's looking for more of a short-term situation. I don't like the fit. And what you'd have to do to go get him, just it doesn't jive with what the Grizzlies need to be doing at this moment. So I've seen it out there. Doesn't make sense to me.
And especially with the reports that he might want to go back to Phoenix. But it seems like to me he is going to either stay on the West Coast, he's going to go to Boston, or he's going to go to Houston. Those would be my guesses. Right now, if you made me pick, I would say it's going to be the Lakers, the Suns, Boston, I guess maybe Miami or Houston. Those would be the teams that I say.
The Celtics fit really isn't intriguing.
It is. It's very intriguing.
Because Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum there, if you can get him for a decent deal once those contracts hit, I mean, because they're going to pay Jaylen Brown this offseason. They've been in need of a sort of table setter in a big way. And Marcus Smart clearly hasn't been that guy. I feel like CP3 setting up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown would be phenomenal. But
he would help Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, it would. But we'll sit and wait and watch this whole thing unfold. But Chris Haynes left him for dead, by the way, on that first report.
Yeah,
he's being waived. I know it sounds like they just met with the front office and they're exploring options to go forward.
Someone said that it was as if he read a text and got really excited when he saw Chris Paul and waved in like the same sentence,
right,
and he didn't read it fully, and then he sent out the tweet and then had to backtrack a little bit. But I understand it. It is an exciting story. It's an interesting story because there are so many sliding doors here with what could potentially happen with there. Because I mean, I also saw that there was another player rumored. I can't remember who it was. It may have been Kyrie was rumored maybe with the Suns now, too. Like, all of that going on, it's going to be fascinating to see. Oh, wait, or was it Harden? It may have been Harden.
Harden, I think it was Harden. Was the rumor. I was confused there for a second. But yeah. Harden to the Suns, still, I think that's a bit of a
pipe dream.
Uphill climb to go make that happen. Now, all of these news notes and storylines with Chris Paul and Kyrie are kind of distracting from actually what's going on the floor right now, where the Nuggets get a big win in game three. I saw this coming, no question about it. And to see that first half, it was so clear to me that the Nuggets have really hit their stride. Obviously, you get a win on the road, you're back into your home court, you flip home court back to you. But seeing Jamal Murray in that first half, that 20 ball he had, and the Heat, I told you this off air, the Heat were harassing the entire first half. Jamal Murray, for a while, it was hard for him to get to his game, but then he just started putting up these ridiculous shots. And when he gets hot, when he gets streaky, everything goes in. And he silenced that crowd a million separate times. And Jokic and Murray, that the two-man wrecking crew, first time ever that two teammates have ever gotten a 30-point triple-double in the same night. And the first half, again, had to be depressing for the Heat. They did everything they could. Defensive effort was through the roof. They got Jokic to actually miss some shots. He only shot about 50% from the field instead of 60 to 70. They limited the role players in that first half. But still, Jamal Murray was making foolish looks, and they went into half, the Heat, down five, even, in my opinion, having played good basketball. That's a frustrating feeling.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Heat played probably the best defense they have so far in the NBA Finals in that first half of Game 1. The first half really made it seem like it was going to be a defensive rock fight because, like you said, Jokic was actually showing up on the defensive end. The Nuggets were really clamping down on the Heat, and the Heat were doing the same thing to the Nuggets. And it kind of turned into, like, your two best guys versus our two best guys.
Mm-hmm. It did. But the two best guys for the Heat just gets tricky. It gets very tricky. And I have to say, they did this in the Lakers series as well. The talking points were always there. But figuring Jokic out, and I'm going to put air quotes on that, figuring Jokic out, it's a short-term endeavor. It does not last. You know, you thought for a second after watching Game 2 that starting Kevin Love was the full-time answer. He had 10 rebounds. He played really well, and it was a switch-up. But also they did it in the Lakers series. A lot of people, media members talking about the Lakers series and Rui being blanketed on Jokic and having AD as a roamer, that was figuring him out. But after all of the discussion of him being figured out in Game 2 and Spo having a good game plan, he has the first 30-20-10 game in Finals history.
Unbelievable.
This guy's ridiculous. This guy is insane. He picks you apart wherever he is at on the floor. And you could try to hold them under that assist total. Again, they are 0-9, or 0 for their last 9 when he has 5 or less assists. But that's not going to happen game to game. And I do think the Heat had some struggles last night, and the fact that Gabe Vincent had foul trouble, that killed him and the Heat. They didn't have a table setter. He couldn't really get into a rhythm the way he did in game two, having 23 points. And then Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, and Duncan Robinson combined for 19 points when Gabe Vincent scored 23 himself in game two. And I hate being right. I really do at times. But when you attach yourself to so many certifiable role guys like the Heat have, I mean, they have gotten where they are because of certifiable, undrafted role guys. Nights like last night, though, when you have that type of built, your roster's built that way, nights like last night are always possible. Those guys come down to earth very quickly. And when that pressure gets to them, it becomes a struggle. Now, I'm a big fan of Christian Brown.
I was about to say, the cruel irony of last night for the Heat is that one of the random role guys for the Nuggets was just stabbing them over and over again.
15-4-1, and then he had one steal. And he is a super smart basketball player.
Only took one three. That's what's impressive about it. He did all that without
making
a
three. Well, his cutting, he makes himself available with his cuts, and he just gets to the rim and finishes, and he's got a fair amount of leaping ability, and on the defensive end, he can lock in. Like, he's a plus defender. Like, that's a guy that these last two games, you're starting to see him really come out of his shell. And Christian Brown, by the way, Braun, why didn't he just spell his name B-R-O-W-N? Braun, I thought it was Braun this whole time.
I think most people did. Today's been a big everybody figuring out how to say Christian Brown's name, for sure. Including us. I mean, to be honest, I didn't really know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's not like I'm a Denver Nuggets expert. It's just, you know, I've been a huge fan of them all season. I don't know if I've actually paid attention to how it was pronounced, because you assume it would be Brown, but it is Brown.
Now, I was thinking about this last night watching the game, especially the way the second half went. There is a solution to neutralizing the Heat's offense, right? Like, there's a solution to run. You run guys off the three-point line. They're going to have to put up a lot of three-pointers and make a lot of three-pointers to win games in this series. So there's a solution, I think, ultimately, to what the Heat are trying to deploy offensively. I don't think there's a solution for the Nuggets. There's not an easy solution. Jokic just makes so many decisions on the fly, the adjustability he has. Michael Malone's doing a good job of putting them in good positions. I don't think there's a full-time solution for the Nuggets, but if you run guys off the three-point line, if you can test really well, really close out well on the Heat, I feel like that's the solution to making their offense just nasty. And that's what it was all year, really, for them. They were, again, the worst from a points-per-game standpoint in the entire NBA during the regular season.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It really seemed like that the Nuggets made it a point to run those guys off the three-point line, or at least make it difficult, because as we've seen in the game that the Heat won, they had a ton of open threes. They just, you know, that little handoff that they were doing with Jimmy and Bam basically, or Jimmy running at the basket and just throwing, kicking it out to the wide-open shooter. You could tell that they were trying to not allow that to happen over and over again. If I were the Heat, a worrisome stat for me from last night, even with losing the game, here's a worrisome thing. The Nuggets only made 5 threes.
Yep. It's kind of proven, though, at this point.
Like, he lost by 15, and they only made
the Heat shooting. The Heat shooting is just, it's going to be up and down because you have a bunch of certifiable role guys that are undrafted free agents, and sometimes they shrink, and you expect that. But if they're shooting 31% from three, they're not going to win ball games. They have to be up around 40, between 40 and 50, to really challenge this Nuggets team. I fully believe that. But if the Nuggets do what they did last night, run them off the three-point line, contest really well, it's going to be a struggle consistently. For the Heat, though, now you have a two-day layoff instead of a three-day layoff before Game 4. And it feels like they're more roughed up than the Nuggets, too. That's a big issue. Tyler Hero's hurt, and then Jimmy Butler still doesn't quite look himself with that ankle.
Well, and Kyle Lowry's hurt, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry's dealing with injury, so... Yeah, that's one thing is we've been kind of – I think the two of us got on the Jimmy Butler thing a little bit earlier than some others because we just kind of noticed that his play since he turned that ankle just wasn't the same. And he's putting in effort. It's not like he's not giving 150% because he is. He's Jimmy Butler. He's out there. He's doing everything he possibly can. And last night, he had a good game last night. Like
the first half was really good. Second half, like, he slowed down drastically.
And that's what we've been seeing is that he's having to kind of pick his moments. It's reminiscent of what LeBron's kind of had to do throughout this playoff series to where he can't do it all four quarters. He's having to do it like one or two quarters because in game two when they won, he was really good in the fourth quarter, but he wasn't very good the first three. So it's like he can only give you a quarter or two right now in the playoffs.
But he needs to be the focal point offensively. He needs to get to those spots in the mid-range and knock shots down. He's got to get to the rim. He's got to get to the free throw line because night to night, that shooting just is not going to stay up around 40% every single night. And the only way they're going to win ball games if they're shooting 31% from the three-point line is Jimmy Butler being ridiculous. He has to go nuclear for them to keep up offensively with this Nuggets team if the three-pointers aren't falling.
It's kind of odd how they have, in a weird way, turned into what the Celtics were last series against them, where it's going to essentially come down to, did they make their threes? That's kind of it right now for the Heat. They need
to
continue that hot streak. It is. It's the only one. It's because, you know, we've been saying it going into the finals, and I think that game two, some people tried to go away from it, but the Nuggets are clearly the most talented team left right now. Like, they are the most talented team. You can make there's not really an argument you can make, I think, for the Heat. And trying to act like these are two underdog teams is just silly. This is a one seed versus an eight seed, and we see flashes of it. Like, that second half last night, you saw a one seed playing an eight seed.
Yep.
And it's not that the Heat aren't putting in effort. It's not that the Heat don't deserve to be here. Like you've been saying, they won 12 games. They're supposed to be in this. But eventually, the talent is going to separate the two teams. And I think that's what we saw last night, especially when it becomes your two best against my two best. And if one of your two best is a two-time MVP and potential best player in the world, guess who's going to win that battle?
Yeah. No question. And also, the Heat last night, I think the Nuggets can keep going back into the well and score in the paint, because the Heat just aren't big enough. They can't bang that way that the Nuggets can.
Yeah,
they got absolutely destroyed under the basket. I think there was 60 plus points in the paint for the Nuggets. The Heat, you know, they just don't have enough on the defensive end to really body up with the Aaron Gordons, the Jokic's of the world. Jamal Murray does a good job of getting to the rim once sort of Jokic frees him up with a little bit of space, him getting downhill. It's just the Nuggets are the bigger, stronger, more talented team. And we've been banging that drum this entire time.
The size advantage was really apparent last night.
Yeah.
You know, even with the guy
and Eric Spoelstra said as much. He said we got our ass kicked in the paint.
Yeah. Even a guy like Aaron Gordon, you know, he only had 11 last night, but he had 11 and 10 and he was so good defensively.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon has been such a great defensive piece for this team. He's playing within himself on the offensive end. Now, let me ask you this. It was kind of a big Bruce Brown legacy moment last night a little bit. He got the call instead of Michael Porter Jr. What did you think about him essentially benching MPJ? I thought it was a good decision.
Michael Porter Jr. the last two games has just been miserable. And he's uncomfortable. He's throwing up shots and just praying they fall at this moment. There comes a point, especially in this type, you know, you're in the NBA Finals. If a guy's losing confidence, you cannot keep running him out there and expecting different results.
Because the ball, especially with the Nuggets, because you don't need the ball to freeze. The one thing about their offense is it's so motion-oriented. whenever they would throw it to MPJ, he would freeze because you could see that he's thinking. When you can tell that a guy's thinking in the finals, you got to get him out. And that's why Bruce Brown was only 1 for 5, but he was running around everywhere, and he was scrappy on the defensive end, and he got things done, you know?
Yeah, Bruce, I love Bruce. The stat line wasn't crazy, but he did have 3 blocks. And him on the defensive end, he's just so underrated there. Like, he's so good.
He's about to get paid, man.
Didn't he have a 2-year deal here with the Nuggets?
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent going into this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought he had a 2-year, $13 million deal. So it was just under 7 a year. You may need to check on that, but I think he's still on team control for another year, Bruce Brown. But once he gets out of team control, he's going to be so wanted. And after the Nets days, there's a lot of people that sort of doubted what he could
provide. Oh, it's a player option.
Player option?
It's a player option.
And,
ooh.
Hey, come on.
I mean, he's going to get
He's a vet. He's been in the game. If he wins a championship this year, you wonder how he's going to – if he's going to do the team a favor for getting him up. But we'll see. He can get some money.
I don't think so. I think he's going to go get some more money because he can. He's going to – he's worth more than 6.8 right now.
Yep. Now, where do you stand on Tyler Hero and him still not being cleared? Do you think – the more I think about it, I'm not sure he's the ticket for the Heat. I don't know if he's from the – yes, it's nice to have someone who can create off the dribble, but – he's small, not much defensively. If Tyler Hero comes back, you're playing smaller lineups. He's higher usage, so other guys aren't necessarily going to get their shots. But I'm not sure for him, one, he'll be ready to play extended minutes, and two, I'm not sure his scoring punch would add that much. They still have to knock down 3 balls if they want any chance of winning games in the series.
Especially if he still has swelling and pain in that hand, like he has talked about, and he has said in interviews that he's worried about coming in and messing up the rhythm of this team, you know, because they've been playing a lot of basketball without him, a lot of winning basketball without him. So throwing him into the mix and taking the minutes away from the guys that have had these Cinderella moments, it takes away the possibility of that happening again.
Tyler Hero takes away shots from Gabe Vincent, from Caleb Martin, from guys that have Duncan Robinson, from Max Strus, and those guys have gotten you here.
Yeah, I think the biggest reason, though, is something that you nailed. It's on the defensive end. Someone with a hand injury having to play him against either Jamal Murray or the wings of the Nuggets, who are very good and bigger guys, it seems like a breaking case of emergency type of deal. I don't know.
It's an overwhelming negative, though, on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem with bringing Tyler Hero and trying to expect him to play the role he did during the regular season.
If they go down 3-1... I could see them throwing him in there just to see what happened.
Yeah.
You know, just to see. But I don't think it would happen next game.
Yeah. But he's still not cleared. So game 4 is looking pretty doubtful for him.
Yeah, especially with such a quick turnaround. Or a quicker turnaround.
Yeah. Now, Adam Silver, he keeps speaking up on Ja and Ja's situation. He's done it in multiple pregame shows, the opening presser before the NBA Finals. But he also joined... And I think this was more intrusive, and he showed his thoughts a whole lot more, his real thoughts. He was on with Dan Patrick today. So we're going to play some sound on the other side. We're going to pause. We're going to play. And then we'll just sort of talk about what Adam Silver is saying. What is the messaging behind what he is saying to Dan Patrick? That's on the other side. Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Feel is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Last quick note on the NBA Finals. We had a Udonis Haslam check-in last night. It's honestly jarring that he still has a uniform under his sweats.
It was very funny. Like, funny tweet.
It blows me away. Like, he doesn't need a uniform. He really doesn't. Honestly, at this point, it feels like, in baseball, you have the managers still wear the uniform. That's what it feels like for Udonis Haslam. And hey, that jumper he put up was broke.
Is there any bigger way for a team to signal that they're throwing in the towel than putting in Udonis Haslam?
No, but he had to play some minutes in this finals, right? He had to.
Did he?
It's his last year.
Sure.
Give him a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Not in actual crucial moments.
I did like, though, my favorite thing on the stat sheet is it says 0 minutes, one shot.
The Heat fans were definitely, they hyped his head up to take that jumper.
I mean, he's a legend down there. He's a legend down there.
Man, he had a little too much mustard on that jumper, though.
He was ready.
That was brutal, man.
That was a full year of waiting in one jumper.
Now, on the Adam Silver jaw front, Adam Silver keeps speaking up on this. He won't stop talking about it.
No, he will not.
And, like, his original conversation before the NBA Finals, when he was at his presser the first time he spoke up on it, I tried to take him at his word that he wants to not distract from the NBA Finals. At this point, I think he's doing this all on purpose. I think the amount he's talked about Ja and his situation, the headlines are staying in there. I think it's measured more than he led us to believe.
Listen, yes, it's true that the NBA commissioner does a media tour during the NBA Finals.
Right.
That is true.
I get it.
Absolutely true. He is also the NBA commissioner, and I am, if I had to guess, there are topics that he says that he will talk about versus topics he says that he will not talk about.
Right.
These are prepared interviews.
Yes.
It's not like he's going into these.
Dan Patrick and him, they had a conversation. We'll get to the sound. They had a conversation about what they were going to get into with Ja before he actually joined the show. And, you know, Zion with all that stuff yesterday.
Certainly,
The Ja story is obviously a negative one. But at the same time, there's so many people interested in it, and it'll run the NBA headlines. It feels like it's a lot more measured, though.
Yeah.
It feels like Adam Silver is really – he's completely okay with talking about it even alongside the NBA Finals. But it is not what he originally said. This is not – we're trying to push this down the road so we don't take any headlines from the NBA Finals. He's taking – headlines from the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's very easy for him just to say no comment or I'll talk about Ja after the finals if he really didn't want it to be a distraction. You know, I do think that there is a small element of the Zion story is not very family friendly, if you want to talk about that, and I don't think he wants that leading headlines during the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I don't think he
does. So I do think it was a bit calculated, the stuff that he said yesterday and then going on Dan Patrick Show today, and then all of a sudden the Ja Morant story is back to being the number one story people were talking about, like that. So I do think it's a little bit calculated. I do think that there may have also been some concerns about the ratings, which have turned out to not really be true because, you know, we got to give people more credit. People love good basketball, and this is great basketball that we're watching right now.
We're still going to have lower ratings, though, when it's all
said. Yeah, but, like, I don't know. They've still been pretty good. They haven't been bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's the NBA Finals. You're going to have some decent numbers.
To your point, though, he's definitely trying to keep the NBA in the news cycle.
Yes.
So, you know. It's just, it's so easy to not make this a distraction. All I have to say is no comment.
Yeah, now, he's been on a lot of the pregame shows with NBA Countdown. He's talked with Malika Andrews. He obviously had his presser before the NBA Finals. But today, when he was talking with Dan Patrick, I thought some of the more enlightening discussion points that really show us where he's at. And I'm going to get back to this, but it feels like Adam Silver is prioritizing help for Ja over any punitive action. Now, I want to play this sound. We'll sort of pause and talk about it as it goes along. But let's go ahead and get this thing started. This was Adam Silver on the Dan Patrick Show today.
Is the Ja Morant investigation over? We're just waiting for the finals to be over to announce the decision?
The latter. We are waiting for the finals to be over. I'm aware, of course, of these reports on social media about, you know, whether the gun was in fact a gun. And so we haven't completely wrapped it up.
Does that matter, Commissioner, if that's a toy gun?
You know, it's interesting. It's the very issue is for Ja, certainly in the first incident, was treating a gun as a toy. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And that's what I think the danger is to society, taking a gun, live streaming it, you know, this is without getting into gun issues in terms of the propriety of owning guns and the use of guns. I think everyone agrees that gun safety is critically important and that guns aren't toys. So
it's very clear why Ja is being talked about in this way, right? It's not that people will talk about him not breaking a law, but at the same time, it's conduct detrimental to the NBA, and that's where Adam Silver is standing on this. But let's keep playing that sound because here in a second, he'll talk about what we have been discussing for a while. How disappointed is he in Ja Morant considering this is the second offense?
It's something that I'm thinking a lot about because, again, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the investigation, but in fact, if you are live streaming something that to the world looks exactly like a gun and in a frankly reckless manner, should it matter whether or not it's a real gun? I mean, I will say at the end of the day, in terms of doing my job, everything that's presented to us is relevant. Past conduct is relevant. The circumstances in which you're doing whatever the act is becomes relevant. And in this case, you know, obviously we're going to take into account whatever's presented to us.
When we heard from you after what happened with Ja this second time around, it's almost like there was disappointment. Like you were let down by Ja Morant. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. And Joe Dumars, who now runs basketball operations to the league, and I talked a lot about it because we were both in the meeting with him. The head of the Players Association, Tamika Tramaglio, was in the meeting with us. And just honestly, my sense was he was very sincere in how contrite he was, in how serious he was taking the issue. Again, now talking about the first incident where there's no fact in dispute. He was holding a gun, you know, inebriated in a club, waving it, live streaming it. So that's the first go round. And I know Ja a bit. I had known him. He's a star in our league. And the sense was he came in, he fully owned it, was saying, I made a terrible mistake. I'm learned from the mistake. And so then to get the report and then to see online that, in fact, he was then live streaming a gun, certainly looks like a gun, a Glock, you know, in a kind of reckless manner. Sure. You know, I was incredibly disappointed.
Yeah, it confirms our beliefs. Right. But this is really where it stops in this interview. Like when it comes to the tone that Adam Silver has used up to this point, we thought that tone and that body language was going to lead to this massive suspension. Right. But he is confirming that he's damn disappointed in the way Ja has conducted himself and you know, seeing what Ja said to him. It's got to be somewhat of a slap in the face to that first meeting, to that first discussion he had with Adam Silver.
Absolutely. We've been saying it since his first interview when he did it with Malika Andrews about how it really felt like a disappointed parent talking about
it.
It did. That's what it came off as, and that's why I never really understood people that thought he was going to bring the hammer, because it did always feel like he had some sympathy in there, that he was like, we got this kid needs some help. Like, that's always kind of the tone I was getting from Adam Silver here. And, you know, I do want to credit Anthony Sane on this. It's that he's been saying that it has been feeling like that this has been Adam Silver preparing people for a lesser suspension because he doesn't want to bring some massive hammer down on this kid.
And the thing is, if you just look at the way the NBA is shaped right now, with LeBron stepping out, with you know, KD being toward the back end of his career, all these superstars, Ja is that next superstar in line. Having Ja on the floor is in the best interest of the NBA. So I don't think that 60-game suspension, having Ja off the floor, is anything that Adam Silver is interested in. Now, he did say he was disappointed, but from here on in this interview, you'll hear it. He's sort of stepping back from what we thought about how long the suspension would be. I think a lot of people thought it originally it would really be substantial. But Adam Silver, throughout the rest of this interview, seems like he's stepping back from that thought process.
What would be a big suspension?
I'm not going to get into precise number of games, but I will only say in response to people who say 8 wasn't enough the first time around, it felt like a pretty severe punishment at the time. And an 8-game suspension, of course, without pay. And so I will say, you know, I said this before, in terms of impacting his behavior, would 12 games have made a difference the first time, 15 games? I really don't know. I also, the older I get, I realize that I can't control other people and that he has to own his own conduct. And regardless of the number of games he had been suspended for first time around. He owns this, not me. And he has to take responsibility for it. And part of this, you know, it's fine for somebody to come in and take responsibility for their action. And I'll even give him the benefit of the doubt that he was sincere. He's now made this mistake again. And I think one of the things we even talked about then is nobody's naive in the league office, certainly not Joe Dumars, been at this a long time, was, you know, we'll see your, as you go back out into the world, how you choose to comport yourself. And so now here we are again, dealing with an issue around Ja. And I also think it's important to point out that this is not about just discipline and then we'll just cross our fingers and then hope there's not a third time. I recognize that he needs some assistance, you know, from the league office, his union, his team. He's no doubt he's a remarkable player. And I think he's a very engaging young man. It's one of the reasons he has this enormous following on social media, but it's a two-edged sword. And he has to own that and take responsibility for it. And my hope is that wherever we come out in terms of discipline, that there's an acceptance that we need to find ways to engage with each other going forward to so he can change the trajectory he's now on, which is not a positive one.
And what I see there is regardless of the number of games, Adam Silver's looking for responsibility to be taken, right? Like he made it very clear he needs some assistance more than he actually needs any suspension. I mean, ultimately, hearing him talk about eight games and that sort of suspension he got for the first incident in Denver, he says eight games felt like a lot to him. So I think at this point, you're hearing Adam Silver sort of tread a little more lightly about punitive action, and he's more worried about the assistance behind closed doors that Ja is getting. Is his family helping him along the way? Are the Grizzlies helping him along the way? Are the people at the top of the NBA helping him along the way? It feels like that sound right there is different than anything we've heard from Adam Silver to this point.
Yeah, you know, our theory with that eight-game suspension was that Silver was basically saying, listen, I need to punish you here a little bit, but I'm going to give you – this is on you. You can go fix this. I'm going to give you a chance to fix this yourself without bringing anything massive towards you. And he was like – it felt like he truly believed that he could possibly do this. This time around, this interview specifically, I get that sense a little bit again. It does feel like that he's like, I'm going to let you try to figure this out yourself again. I'm going to bring a little bit bigger punishment this time. You're going to feel it a little bit more, but this is still on you.
Yep.
And that's why it feels like if this happens a third time, that's when the hammer's coming.
Yes, for sure.
And that's
sure.
what it felt like he laid out in this interview, because he is being very, very careful.
If there's certain like checklist items, he's got to go to another rehab stint or whatever it was after that, during the eight-game suspension.
The counseling.
I shouldn't say rehab stint, but the counseling. Hey, there's going to be a checklist here. Is what it feels like, even more so than punitive action. Because punishing Ja for an extended period of time, having him away from the floor, again, is not in the NBA's best interest. Now, let's keep playing it. And I think Dan Patrick did a good job of trying to highlight extra time away from the floor. And is that a good thing, or with all that free time, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And Adam Silver responded.
I wondered about that, Commissioner, that I was worried about him over the summer. Now we've had this second incident. And also, if you suspend somebody for 20 or 30 or 40 games, what happens to that person when they have all that free time? And you could be adding to the issue with Ja Morant, not subtracting.
Precisely, yeah, precisely. And I'm worried about that, too. And so, again, putting aside the number of games that we may be looking at, I'd like to come up with a program, and frankly, working with him, in which there is a joint sense, a mutual commitment that we need to put together a program, not something that's, you know, a couple of sessions and I'm back, but something that where he will be able to use time away from the game. Look, he's suspended right now. I mean, he's away. It's the off season, but he's suspended from team activities. And there, I want to find a way where, frankly, you know, he's not being kicked to the curb, but basketball will take a back seat. And first and foremost, we're going to focus on him as a young man developing as a better person, as someone who's more responsible, particularly when it comes to guns. I mean, this is a really serious issue.
There you have it. I mean, that's the end of the sound there. That's all he gave to Dan Patrick on the jaw front. But if you read through it, the extended suspension and having all that free time, Adam Silver's worried about that. He really said, I am worried about this going forward if he's away from the floor. All that free time he had in the summer, he didn't use it all that well. Putting together a program is, I think, the wording he used in there. I feel like, again, over everything else, Adam Silver and the NBA are prioritizing helping Ja over punishing him. Will the punishment come? Will it be 17 to 20 games, 15 to 25, whatever the hell the guess is? I think they're going to give him some type of punishment, but at the same time, helping his surroundings is more important than anything else when it comes to a punitive measure.
Right. It certainly feels like that they are still in the we need to help this kid out more than punish him mindset right now. And I do appreciate that from Adam Silver. That is, you know, I think that's something that we were hoping was going to be the mindset, and it appears that that's what it is. I do want to ask you this, though, because based off what he said, do you think it's possible that he is taking into consideration some time served here already? Or do you think he's already maybe given Ja the checklist or some of the things he needs to do, even though it hasn't been announced yet? Do you think that Ja may already know, like, this may be some of the things they want, including, you know, severing ties to people on social media, cleaning up his social media? That feels like it may have been something like, hey, you know, we haven't announce what your suspension is yet. We may not tell you what it fully is yet, but here are some things that you can go ahead and start doing.
I would imagine the discussion has already happened between Ja's people and the NBA, because it's very clear there's going to be a program set up for him to try. He's got to pass through the 10 days at counseling. It's fair to, you know, the conversations we were having at that moment is, can 10 days at counseling really rid you of all this evil? And, you know, you see that that's probably not the case. But I'd imagine there's going to be more involved. He's probably going to have to talk to certain officials in the NBA, meet up with them constantly, go to more counseling. But it's more about helping him and prioritizing that and not suspending him for this long period of time. The NBA, Adam Silver, know what's in their best interest, and that's Ja Morant being on the floor. Ultimately, that's what I'm going to leave it at. We will talk with Jeff Calkins here, though, relatively soon. T-minus about 7 minutes. We'll talk about the Ja situation, the Big 12 visiting Memphis, among other things. That's next. Gabe Kuncho, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.